LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
I'm on the phone with a man who claims to be James Nathanson.
He was Walt Cummings' contact. He says he has information about the terrorists, but he will only talk to you.
What do you want with me?
Protection. The terrorists you're after are trying to kill me.
What makes you think I'm not going to kill you myself?
Because you want to stop the Centaux gas from being released on American soil.
So do I.
This is a stay down! Stay down!
What's on the chip? Please, what's on the chip?
O'Brien.
I have a thumb drive that's going to help us find the
Centaux.
Description element kicked out a company called Omicron International.
Pull up the senior executive roster, see if a man named Christopher Henderson is on the list.
Okay, here it is. Senior Vice President of Research and Development.
Send me the decrypted files over to my PDA.
It's going to be a little bit hard to do right now, Jack.
The two of you are up to something, and I'm not going to stand for it. This was a deliberate attempt to circumvent my authority.
Lynn, we are all on the same side.
If your father wasn't the Secretary of Defense, I'd have you thrown out of here. I don't have that problem with you.
I spent a year securing a weapon that would bring Moscow to its knees. You wasted.
A betrayed vehicle. Someone must pay.
I agree.
This is President Logan. What is it you want?
I want the route of Suvorov's
motorcade. If you refuse to cooperate, I will have no choice but to release all the Centaux nerve gas.
He wants to assassinate Suvorov.
Don't negotiate with him! Is that the point of the treaty you just signed?
Mr. President, I'm glad that we have this opportunity to thank you and Mrs. Logan for your hospitality.
The motorcade will take service roads to the 118.
Mrs. Logan.
Aaron, I just had to drive to the airport with the Suvorovs.
I'll ride up front.
No, that's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
The world has become, quote, measurably safer and more secure from terrorist attacks.
The following takes place between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m.
President Suvorov and his wife, Anna, will be flying back to Moscow in just a few hours with this new and more powerful mutual cooperation pact in hand.
Yes.
Where's the motorcade now?
Just getting on the 118.
How long before they reach the ambush point?
About 40 minutes.
Good. We'll be ready. Get everything ready.
The terrorists mobilize from their white van, producing from foam-padded metal cases some kind of scary-looking rocket launcher. In Logan's press room.
Mr. President, I asked Secret Service to send their threat assessment for President Suvorov's route. The most vulnerable point is here in the downtown corridor. This is the most likely point of attack if an ambush were to occur.
It's going to happen, Mike. We gave the terrorists Suvorov's round. I need to come up with a public response. I need to convince the world that Suvorov's death only underscores the importance of this anti-terrorism treaty that we just signed.
I'll begin working on a statement, sir. Yes?
Mike has been handed a phone by an aide and speaks into it.
Thank you. I'll let the president know.
What? What is it, Mike? What's going on? Who was that?
Agent Pierce, I don't know how to tell you this,
just
sir.
Just tell me.
Mrs. Logan is riding with the Suvorovs.
What are you talking about?
Sir, she got into their limousine.
Oh, my God. Didn't the Secret Service try to stop her?
There was no reason to stop her. The motorcade is under Secret Service escort. As far as they're concerned, she's not in any danger.
She wants me to call back the motorcade. She's trying to save the Suvorovs.
Should I alert them?
Yes! No, stop, wait. If we warn them, the terrorists are going to set off the gas. Where are they now?
They're still on the 118.
Get my wife on the phone.
President Logan fights tears. The motorcade of armored limos speeds along a flyover in bright sunshine. In the cool interior, Martha sits pensively.
My aunt visited Los Angeles in the 1950s. She told me this area was filled with orange groves, but I haven't seen any. I suppose it's all been built over, no?
Marta?
Yes, I was just trying to remember. I think your aunt's memory is better than mine. I visited here when I was a child, but I don't recall the orange groves.
This is Pierce.
Let me speak to my wife.
Mrs. Logan, here's the president for you on line one.
Thank you, Aaron. Hello, Charles.
Listen to me carefully. I want you...
Yes, I think they had a wonderful visit. And you would very much like for us to come to Moscow. That'd be lovely.
I want you to tell the Suvorovs that I need you back here. I'm going to have one of the follow cars bring you back.
I don't think so, Charles.
Tell them now, while I'm on the phone.
Martha.
I know that you want me to call the motorcade back, but... terrorists were very specific. If I don't allow them to attack
the motorcade, they're going to release canisters of nerve gas in multiple locations.
Well, I guess we'll just have to figure something out before that happens.
We're trying, but...
we haven't found them yet.
You need to get out of the car.
Okay, I should go now.
Martha.
But you'll call me if there's any change of plans.
Damn it, Martha!
Okay, bye-bye. I'll talk to you soon.
Get out of the limousine.
My God.
We gotta do something, Mike. We gotta get her out of the car. I could have one of the trail cars stop them and force her out, say that I need her back here.
You could, but if Martha is desperate to save the Suvorovs, she might feel that the only remaining option is to tell them the truth.
The Suvorov would know that I gave him up for assassination.
Sir, do you want me to recall the motorcade or not?
President Logan agonizes, seemingly running through all his options, each of which leads to a brick wall. End of part one. Evan, in CTU.
Edgar, meet me in the server room in a few minutes.
Am I in trouble?
No, but there's something very important that we need to discuss.
Okay.
And Edgar, don't tell anyone where you're going. This needs to stay between us.
Sure.
Lynn McGill comes busily down the stairs from his office and makes a beeline for Edgar.
What did Audrey Raines want?
She was just going over some DOD protocols.
I thought you were supposed to be monitoring chatter.
We are.
Why isn't it on my screen, Kerry?
I didn't think you wanted us to remember everything to your system. I thought you wanted to save time.
I do want to save time. It saves me time by not having to clean up more mistakes. Mirror everything until we've secured this nerve gas. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
McGill glowers at Kerry and Edgar and bustles off, passing Curtis, who looks on balefully. Audrey and Chloe in the server room.
The thumb drive data Jack sent us checks out as authentic. It's timestamped by DOD and CIA.
So Omicron International did make Centox gas for the military.
Yeah, and some terrorists found out about it. Or worse, they were in contact with Omicron.
Who is this Henderson?
Christopher Henderson, senior vice president of R&D. Jack said he knew him, but he wouldn't talk about it.
Is he connected with the Centox?
It doesn't say, just that he was a senior VP.
Right.
Audrey picks up a phone and dials. Jack, driving in his hijacked 4x4, picks up.
Yeah.
Jack, we've authenticated the thumb drive data. Omicron definitely made the Centox for the military.
Okay, I'm almost there. Look, I need you to work something up that gets me through the front door without them knowing I'm CTU.
Do you think it's necessary to go in covertly?
Yeah, there's someone I need to talk to. I don't want them to see me coming.
Christopher Henderson?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Someone I used to work for.
Where?
CTU. He's a man who recruited me.
You've never mentioned him.
I know. Things ended badly between us.
What happened?
I was part of an investigation that uncovered evidence that implicated him in the sale of classified intelligence to defense contractors. We never had enough evidence to indict him. But he lost his job, his command. Even as he was walking out the door, he maintained his innocence. He never forgave me for being part of the investigation.
Are you convinced he did it?
I was at the time.
Jack, Chloe can't find a direct connection between the Centox and Henderson.
Trust me. If Omicron was making Centox legally or illegally, Henderson knew about it. Get back to me as soon as you got my cover.
All right, I'm on it.
What are you doing here, Chloe?
Same thing you're doing here. Edgar, thank you for coming.
Look, whatever this is about, I don't have a lot of time. We don't have a single active lead on this nerve gas.
That's not exactly true. Jack is following a lead out in the field.
How do you know?
I just spoke with him.
Everyone's looking for him. Lynn issued an arrest warrant.
That's why we wanted to talk to you, Edgar. Lynn is losing it. First he went after Jack, and then he took Bill Buchanan on a play. Lynn is incapable of leading us through this crisis.
So you're both working behind his back?
We're afraid that if we bring him into this, he might derail the only good lead that we have. We have to help Jack locate the nerve gas before it's too late.
What do you want from me?
Cover for Chloe until Jack reports back.
Edgar ponders. Chloe shoots him a look.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Edgar exits. 4:10.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I'm a Secret Service. As you can see, the motorcade continues to make its way to the airport without incident.
There won't be any warning, Mike. When these people attack, they will be fast and they will be merciless. You can count on that. I have to talk to this man. Maybe I can convince him to hold off.
Hold off?
Just until Martha gets out of the car. She wasn't supposed to be a part of this in the first place.
Sir, I don't think that would change his plan.
He has to know that my wife's in the car. I can't lose her, Mike.
The only way to keep Martha safe is for me to call Secret Service and tell them to turn the motorcade around.
What about CTU? Do they have any active leads on the nerve gas?
As of 5 minutes ago, they don't. Nothing that would help our situation.
What am I missing, Mike? There's got to be some way out. Something that I'm not seeing.
I'm not missing anything. Any action we take to save Martha would also save the Suvorovs. And if that happens, the terrorists will release the gas. Unfortunately, it's that simple.
Logan absorbs this lecture.
And there's nothing more we can do, Mark. Unless I warn them. Martha's going to die with the Suvorovs.
Martha goes through agonies of her own.
Have there been any changes?
Excuse me? Changes to what, Mrs. Logan?
I was just wondering if there have been any changes to our route.
We haven't gotten any revised instructions, ma'am.
Thank you.
Pierce slides the screen back up. Martha attempts to smile at the Suvorovs, who are beginning to look quizzically at her strange behavior.
You sure you're all right, Martha?
Yes. I just wanted to make sure we don't run into any heavy traffic.
Martha fights back tears. Suvorov gives her a strange look. 4:17. The motorcade rolls on. Charles Logan agonizes. At CTU, Kerry finishes a phone call.
Understood. Those protocols should be coming over shortly.
Okay. Who are you on the phone with?
Homeland Security.
I gave you specific orders to have everyone's systems mirrored to mine.
I've been doing that.
But you're not finished, yet somehow you have time to chat with Homeland Security.
They needed us to give them updated code sets. It'll just take another minute.
No, it won't. Styles, finish your task. Carrie, you're done.
What do you mean, done?
Fired. You don't work here anymore.
Mr. McGill, it's not her fault. She just...
Edgar, one more word out of you, you walk out with her. What's it going to be?
Lynn stares Edgar down and then looks around pugnaciously.
Where's Agent O'Brien?
She had to step away for a minute.
Where?
I don't know.
Curtis watches dubiously as Lynn prowls off. Jack's 4x4 cruises into a car park.
Okay, I'm through the gate. I'm pulling into a parking space now.
4:18.
How's my cover?
Jack, I'm still trying to get your credentials into Omicron system. You can't get into the building without them.
What's the problem?
Omicron system don't refresh often enough. We need to push this page in manually. Okay, I'm in. You're going in under the name of John Barry. B-A-R-R-I-E. You're with a company called Eclipse LLC.
John Barry, Eclipse LLC, I got it.
Hold on a second, she hasn't planned it yet.
Chloe, what are you doing in here?
I asked her to help me.
She doesn't work for you, Ms. Rain, she works for me.
But I don't, and DOD has assignment priority over CTU.
We're in the middle of a real-time investigation and we're understaffed. Chloe is a department head, you can't just take her away from me.
I'm not taking her from you. We needed a system patch on the server, and Chloe is the only one who could fix it.
Well, then you come to me and you ask me. Everything in this office runs through me.
Lynn, we are all trying to do the same thing. Can we please just get past this?
Yeah, I'm past it. I want Chloe back.
Okay, I'm finished here. Sorry, Mr. McGill, it won't happen again.
Audrey breathes a huge sigh of relief and returns to the screen now vacated by Chloe. Jack enters a spacious marbled lobby. Above a huge reception desk hangs the sculpted logo of Omicron International. Jack approaches the security man.
Good afternoon. John Barry with Eclipse. I've got a 430 with R&D.
The uniformed official keys in the assumed name. It flashes up green on his screen. He hands Jack a tiny electronic pad.
Thumbprint, please.
Jack's thumbprint activates the appearance on the screen of Chloe's ID photo of the imaginary John Barry. The guard scrutinizes it. He is eventually satisfied that Jack's face fits.
Go on in.
Thank you.
4:20. Jack appears at the end of a long corridor. He looks around and then walks down the corridor. He comes to a large glass-fronted room in which sits a woman at a desk.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You kick the McAvoy meeting the next week on Thursday, but you keep everything else.
What about your trip to Washington?
That's right. Okay. Well, I got to talk to Kagan tomorrow morning. I'll get back to you then.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little lost. I was looking for the men's room.
Over there. Second door.
Thank you.
Jack smiles thanks, seemingly making a real connection with the secretary. As he goes back out into the corridor, he dials on his phone.
Audrey Raines.
It's Jack. I need you to lose the secretary. Her name is Joanna Tandy.
All right, I'll take care of it.
Audrey intently keys in the name. The machine does a search. Audrey scrolls down a list of Omicron employees. She highlights Tandy J. She dials on her phone. Jack lurks in the corridor. Joanna Tandy's phone rings.
Christopher Henderson's office.
Miss Tandy?
Yes?
This is Jane Espenson from accounting. We need you to come down now and double-check some of these invoices.
What invoices?
It's a little difficult to explain over the phone. Would you mind popping down just for a minute?
Fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Henderson, there's a problem down in accounting. I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay.
The secretary heads off. Jack pulls his gun and circumspectly approaches the door behind her desk. He pushes it open and enters cautiously. He is attacked from behind by a man with a stun gun. The man, thin-faced and in his mid-50s, looks down in surprise at Jack. He removes his rimless spectacles. He snaps a capsule beneath Jack's nose.
Jack.
Jack shakes his head as the chemical reaches his brain and looks up, slightly dazed, as the man, leveling a gun at him, slowly goes to sit in a chair of leather and tubular steel.
Just for the record, I never believed you were dead. What are you doing here?
Earlier this morning, terrorists gained control of a large quantity of Syntox VX nerve gas. Omicron manufactured it. When I pulled up the executive list, your name was on it.
Sure, my name's on it. I work here. Omicron had the contract. We manufactured the stuff. But every single gram of it went to the Department of Defense. It's all been accounted for.
Well, that can't be true now, can it? We have confirmation the terrorists are in control of 19 canisters of Syntox.
Well, what are you accusing me now of, Jack? Being in bed with terrorists?
I'm following the leads.
Well, the leads are wrong. The DOD destroyed the entire stockpile.
Syntox was responsible for the death of the people in the Sunrise Hills Mall less than 2 hours ago.
The news said it was chlorine gas.
That was a cover story to stop a widespread panic. Come on, Christopher, you know how this works.
Christopher Henderson's close-set eyes narrow as he shrewdly processes this information.
The terrorists have threatened to release the rest of the gas.
Henderson appears shocked. He leans slowly forward.
Good God.
4:23. Henderson gets up and paces.
All that was ever implicating me in this knows my history with CTU. I mean, I'm an easy target. This is not a coincidence. Look, Jack, I know there's a deal between us, but I swear to you, I got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I can't afford to take your word on this.
Well, you're gonna have to take my word.
11 people died in that mall! Hundreds of thousands of others will if they release the rest of the Syntox.
You're not hearing me, Jack! I had nothing to do with this!
Then prove it to me.
The two men stare each other in the eye at close range. Henderson looks down at the pistol, then flips it, grasps the barrel and presents it to Jack. As Henderson moves off to his desk, Jack checks the chamber and then pockets the weapon.
I need complete access to Omicron's Syntox program.
I'm doing it now. The entire operation was run from a bunker across the campus.
Let me see the bunker. Let's go.
Henderson bundles up some stuff from his desk and heads out of his office, followed by Jack. 4:24, end of part two. 3:29, Logan sits in despair. Martha rides in Suvorov's limo. At CTU, Edgar casts a cautious glance through the window at Lynn McGill, then grabs a bunch of files and heads over to Chloe's workstation.
NSA channel analysis just came in. I decoded some words and phrases.
Well, what were they saying?
It's too scrambled to make any complete sentences, but number strings keep coming up. 5, 1, 10, 10.
Freeways?
Total de route prison Suvorov's taken to the airport. The only other phrase I could decode refers to the downtown corridor.
How long ago did this chatter start?
About 30 minutes ago.
Chloe glances towards McGill's office.
Come on. Have we expanded the search area?
I've got CTU air surveillance and everything east of Glendale.
And what about the north?
Edwards Air Force Base has given us support there.
We're still at a dead end on finding new leads with the nerve gas.
Excuse me, Mr. McGill, we think there might be an attack on President Suvorov's motorcade.
What?
Edgar just monitored some chatter from NSA and ran a threat assessment.
What are you doing analyzing chatter that isn't related to finding the nerve gas?
It came through on one of my filters.
The point is, sir, we found something. Don't you want to alert Secret Service considering that Suvorov is on his way to the airport?
Based on an unsubstantiated theory from a couple of analysts? I think I've been embarrassed enough for one day.
Can we at least devote some limited resources to try to confirm this threat?
I'm sorry. Maybe I wasn't clear. No. Now go downstairs and focus on what you're supposed to be doing.
Chloe looks to Curtis, sighs, then leaves, taking Edgar with her. Curtis looks thoughtful, and then slowly gets up from his chair and walks over to McGill.
I don't think it would be a bad idea to pass along the intel.
Well, I do. I don't want to hear another word about it.
Curtis gives McGill a slow, skeptical look and then turns away. A man works with a soldering iron. The Englishman enters.
Yes. Our men are in place. How far out are they?
The motorcade will be there in less than 20 minutes.
Are you sure no one going to interfere with us?
I don't think so. Logan knows the consequences if that happens. But be alert. Make sure they haven't placed any of their people near you.
If police show up, we'll deal with them.
Good.
I'll call you when it's over. Let's go, let's go.
The armed terrorists move out.
Keep them armed. If things don't go as planned, I'll use them here.
The Englishman leaves his men working on the gas canisters. At CTU, Audrey walks smartly up the steps to McGill's office.
I'm busy, Ms. Raines.
Lynn, I just looked at this chatter report, and I definitely think that we need to let Secret Service know of the threat.
I'm not going to repeat my orders to every person in this office individually. My people are not going to chase that white elephant. They're busy trying to locate 19 canisters of Centox nerve gas.
Has it occurred to you that if this threat is real, then it's likely that the terrorists who have the Centox nerve gas are the same ones that are planning this attack?
This is an unverified threat! If you want to hand it off to NSA, be my guest!
NSA can't recall the motorcade without going through a time-consuming approval process.
Good! That process helps eliminate false threats!
Look, we don't have that time according to this report!
Ms. Raines! This office has made enough mistakes for one day, and I intend to stop the bleeding. Now let my people focus on their work, or I will have you escorted out of here! Thank you!
Audrey holds McGill's gaze. Her eyes narrow. Lynn looks down and puts a hand to his forehead. Audrey seems to have come to a conclusion of some kind. A wry expression passes across her face as she turns and walks out of the office. McGill appears rattled. Audrey catches Chloe's eye and then moves off down the walkway, keying something into her mobile. Edgar looks towards Chloe. Onto his screen flashes the message, A. Raines, Corridor 7A, now. Chloe and he exchange a look and both get up. Audrey descends a set of steps into an ill-lit corridor. Chloe and Edgar enter the corridor from another direction and approach Audrey.
I need to call this into Secret Service, but they won't act on it unless Lynn verifies it.
He's never going to back you up on this.
Yes, he is. I need you to hack into Lynn's account for me. I'll forge a message to Secret Service and make it look like it came from him.
That's illegal.
Fine. Edgar, I need you to put a blanket on my subnet to make it look like I'm doing something else.
We could all end up in jail.
Think about it for a second. The Russian president, his wife, about 35 Secret Service, all dead in a few minutes.
All right, but for the record, this is not a good idea.
All right, I'll compose the message. As soon as you have the forged verification file, call me.
Chloe and Edgar head back to the main room. 4:34, Audrey walks away. She sees Curtis across the floor, finishing a conversation with someone else. As he heads off, she walks parallel to him on the other side of a glass-walled office. She waylays him at the corner.
Curtis, excuse me. We need to talk.
What is it?
We've got a problem with Lynn.
Yeah, I know. He's not listening to anybody.
Well, it's going to start costing lives.
Just give him some time. He'll come around.
Curtis, we don't have time. We've got to get Bill back out here.
That's not going to happen, Audrey.
Well, we need to make it happen.
What are you suggesting?
Section 112.
On what grounds?
Lynn is mentally incapable of running CTU.
I may not agree with all his choices, but going from there to mentally unfit, that's a stretch.
No, it's not, and you know it. You've seen him. With Bill in custody, you are the ranking agent. You're the only one that can invoke it.
Look, I don't know, Audrey.
Yes, you do. Curtis, CTU is barely functional. You are the one that can turn it around.
Even if I agreed, Section 112 requires documentation, testimony, a lot of groundwork.
The record of what is going on right now is documentation enough. Curtis, please, think about it.
I will.
Good. Thank you.
Suvorov's motorcade speeds along. The Russian president sits looking out of the window. His wife smiles across to him. Martha sits opposite the pair, so deep in thought as to be oblivious to them. President Logan sits alone studying photos of Martha. Mike Novick opens the door and looks in on the president. Getting no reaction, he knocks gently.
Mr. President.
Come in, Mike.
The motorcade is only 15 minutes away from the airport.
Yeah.
Mike moves around to face the president, a look of deep solicitude on his face.
My father always told me that life is about problem solving, that every problem had a solution. You tell me where the solution is on this one.
Mike looks down. He slowly sits. He looks back at Logan and shakes his head.
I don't have an answer, Mr. President. But if you want the Suvorov motorcade to turn back, I need to do it now.
We know the terrorists are willing to kill civilians. And the low end of the casualty range on this one is 100,000 lives.
Yes, sir.
I decided before that I couldn't risk all those lives to save one man, Russian president. I can't risk those lives now. Even to save my own wife. Damn you, Martha. Putting me in this position. You brought it on yourself. Mike.
Mike continues to look at the president. Logan gets down onto his knees.
Pray with me, Mike.
Mr. President, with all due respect, this is a personal matter.
Please, Mike.
Deeply unwilling, Mike slides down from his chair and kneels just to the right and in front of Logan, who briefly places a hand on his shoulder. The two men bow their heads. 4:38.
How much longer until we can send this out?
A couple of minutes. I'm almost hacked in.
We don't have a couple minutes.
I'm almost there.
Oh, no. Lynn cut us off.
Oh, I do.
I think it's too late to do anything.
McGill marches in, flanked by red-uniformed security guards.
Mr. Stiles, did you really think I wouldn't notice you were trying to access my comm?
Lynn, listen, we need to talk.
Shut up. These people are working against CTU protocols. That means they're working against me.
Lynn, what is this?
We were trying to warn Secret Service of an attack on Suvorov's motorcade.
Curtis, take Mr. Stiles and Ms. O'Brien, put them in holding, and then escort Audrey Raines out of CTU.
I can't do that.
Yes, you can, Curtis. It's a direct order. Now do it.
You forced them to work covertly. They had no choice. You're not behaving rationally, Lynn.
You and you, take them all into custody, including Mr. Manning.
If you try to carry that command, I will draw my weapon.
If he draws his weapon, shoot him.
This situation's already getting out of control. Don't make it worse.
Why are you hesitating? I gave you an order. Now do it!
The lead security man looks from McGill to Curtis Manning and down to where Curtis's hand hovers above his pistol.
What would you like me to do, Mr. Manning?
What?
Then, McGill, I'm relieving you of your command under the incapacity clause of Section 112.
You will do no such thing.
Take him away.
You can't do that. He can't do this. Don't touch me. This is an unjustified usurpation of my authority. You hear me? We're in the middle of a crisis. There are going to be repercussions. Everyone involved with this is going to face prosecution.
This is Curtis Manning.
Yes, sir.
Release Bill Buchanan from holding and inform Division that he's been reinstated as Director of CTU under Section 112 provisions.
Right away, sir.
Everyone, get back to your stations.
Lynn sits in holding. Jack moves out with Henderson. The motorcade rolls on.
Chloe and Edgar detected chatter indicating a possible attack on President Suvorov's motorcade en route to the airport.
How'd they get Suvorov's route?
We don't know. But the most likely point of intercept is the downtown corridor.
Secret Service been notified?
Lynn refused to do so.
Notify Secret Service now.
I need your level 1 access code to override the firewall Lynn put up.
Here.
And I need Carrie back. He fired her for no reason.
I have security reinstate her. Edgar, pull up satellite and all possible intercept points and call the president.
Yes, sir.
Where are we on the location of the nerve gas canisters?
No substantial progress.
What about the lead Jack was following?
He traced the Centaux back to Omicron International, where it was manufactured.
Is that where Jack is now?
Yes.
Mr. Buchanan, President's on the line.
Mr. President, we have intelligence that indicates President Suvorov's motorcade may be attacked in the next few minutes.
Logan, stunned, looks to Mike Novick and gapes.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. We are in the process of notifying Secret Service. What we can tell you is that if the attack happens, it will occur in or around the downtown area. The motorcade is approaching that area now, sir.
Logan turns away and hangs his head.
Mr. President?
Bill. Mike Novick.
The president is at a loss for words.
His wife is in the Suvorov's limousine.
Thank you. Done a good job. What do we do?
There's nothing we can do, sir. CTU is informing Secret Service. They'll no doubt take defensive measures, which makes the attack substantially less likely to succeed.
The motorcade enters a narrow roadway through a built-up area. The terrorists crouch in wait behind low walls and in doorways. Pierce picks something up through his earpiece.
Protocol red, protocol red. Hold on tight. We're turning around. We just received intelligence about a threat to the motorcade.
They're turning around!
Two police outriders are hit and flung from their bikes.
We're under attack! We need backup now!
The Suvorov security men return fire but are killed. front of the limo is engulfed in flames.
That's a missile fire. The motorcade's been hit.
Martha watches in horror as the limo is surrounded by armed terrorists. The bullets being unable to penetrate the limo's armor, they now turn a flamethrower onto the vehicle. Aaron Pierce revives. He assesses the situation, draws his pistol, and opens his door. His final shot hits the flamethrower's fuel tank and decisively incinerates the terrorist. Police arrive and approach the scene with weapons drawn. Suvorov and his wife hold each other close. Martha whimpers in shock. Pierce pulls himself effortfully back up to a sitting position in the front seat. Martha reaches out and touches his shoulder. In Logan's office, Mike Novick stands clutching his phone. He looks to the president, who shakes his head. He answers the call.
Novick.
Mike, it's Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Motorcade's been attacked.
How badly?
Bad. We sustained major headaches.
What about Mrs. Logan?
Mrs. Logan's broken, shaken, but they're alive.
I will. Thank you. Your wife survived the attack. CTU intervened in time.
Thank God. What about the Suvorovs?
They were shaken up, but they'll be okay.
He's going to think I tipped off CTU. It won't matter to him that I tried to keep my end of the bargain.
I agree. We need to prepare ourselves for the terrorists' retaliation.
4:50, end of part 3. Four. Aaron Pierce helps Martha Logan from the wrecked limo.
All the work in the Centox project was run out of here. How restricted was the access? Extremely. Security reasons. Each defense contract was run out of its own separate, dedicated bunker. Each bunker is a completely sealed environment. Nothing gets in, and nothing gets out.
Henderson swipes a keycard through a series of complex locks, lets Jack into a Spartan laboratory room, and shuts the hermetically sealed door behind them.
This is going to take some time. A few minutes anyway. I got to merge some files and find out who's working on this project.
You're senior vice president. You don't know?
Give me a break, Jack. There's 8,000 people work for this company. I got to run a sort. It's going to take a minute. So who's the honcho over at CTU now?
Bill Buchanan.
Buchanan. What a stiff. No wonder everything's gone to hell over there. You guys keep getting rid of everybody can do the job.
You made your own bed.
You accused the wrong man, Jack.
I wasn't the lead investigator. I showed them what I found.
I was framed.
By who?
Nina Myers, George Mason. Who knows? But I'll tell you the one thing that just hangs on me. I'll tell you the one thing that just hurts me is that you didn't believe me.
You made it impossible to believe you. How could I possibly defend you? You wouldn't even defend yourself.
No one gave me the chance.
Jack holds Henderson's stare.
Okay, we got something here. Lead scientist, head of the project Centox, Alan Burkett, PhD.
I'm gonna need to speak to him.
Are you gonna have a problem? Died in a helicopter crash in Geneva 2 years ago. Let's see what else we got. This is bizarre. Two other senior scientists on the Centox project. One drowned in a diving trip in the Bahamas. The other burned to death in a car accident 2 weeks later. What the hell is going on?
CTU's gonna have to break it down. How do I upload the files and get them ready to transfer?
We need IT. They're next door. I want to get somebody to help us.
I'll let CTU know that we're sending the files over.
Jack, alone now, tries a phone. It is dead.
Hello?
What? 4:57. He tries another phone. It is dead too. Jack runs to the door. It is locked. He appears to remember something and returns cautiously to the desk. One of the items Henderson scooped up from his office before leaving is a small, slim box. Jack carefully opens it. Inside is a compact, high-tech mechanism which ticks ominously. Henderson crosses the car park.
Yes?
Yeah, it's me. I listened to everything Bauer had to say about the thumb drive. CTU does not have enough information to hurt us.
What about Bauer?
Well, in about 1 minute, he'll be dead.
Henderson gets into his car. Jack is working feverishly. He pulls up a floor tile and checks the space below. He grabs the device and places it at the foot of the hermetically sealed door. He then shuts the wooden inner door. He pushes a set of metal filing drawers across the doorway. Henderson drives, stony-faced. He reaches inside his jacket and produces a fat, polished steel cylinder. He flips the cap, revealing a button which he presses down with his index finger. Electrical cables spark. Jack emerges from his hiding place beneath the floor. Jack holds his ringing ears and picks his way over the debris. Henderson drives. The survivors of the terrorist attack stand in shock by the wreckage. McGill paces in holding. The Englishman slams his laptop closed.
Look. Tell the media we don't know how the terrorists found out about the Suvorov's route. We're looking into it now.
Mike, I've been thinking that diplomatically we should play up the fact that Martha was in the vehicle.
Why is that, sir?
It will get rid of any suspicion that we might have been shortchanging Suvorov's security. There he is. Hello?
I thought we had an understanding.
I had nothing to do with this. You have to believe me.
It was your job to make sure no one interfered with the attack on the Suvorovs.
It happened outside of my authority. I told no one.
If Russia isn't going to pay with the life of its president, then its new ally, the United States, will pay with the lives of its citizens. Mr. President, this is our final conversation. Goodbye.
No. Wait!
5 p.m. The end.